Can start the meeting right now. Just let me get to my page. I have it in front of me. We're going to open up our meeting according to my little phone at 6:03 p.m. And if we can please have a quick roll call of who's here.
Pat.
I'm going to.
Victor.
Go ahead.
Tamika.
Meals on.
We actually do not have a quorum at this point.
Doris is on.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we are not missing Cecilia and Tish as well as Kevin, correct?
Right.
Okay. All right, correct. First item of business. That we have there has to do with the approval of the minutes. So if we can have, is there anyone who has reviewed the minutes that would like to make an amendment, a change, addition, or deletion?
I've reviewed the minutes, and I am comfortable moving to approve them. It's Victor.
Okay.
And I second it. I second it, Pat.
Motion made by Victor, seconded by Patricia Bramwell. Any other questions on it? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, let the record read that it was unanimous. Before we get to the first report, let me just say that how much I appreciate what we are all doing, mostly to preserve our lives and the lives of the city of New York, as well as the children and their families. I wonder how they're all doing because of this level of contagion and the way we all live today, some of us in smaller quarters than what we would like. So I've done a lot of praying. I don't know what else really one can do, but also our hat is off as we start the meeting to the staff, to the executive leadership, the team, for coming together and doing what they've done to get the school closed down and to comply with the city calls to do so. And I think all we can really do is to kind of stick together, continue to be in touch, to respond to what we receive from school officials, and move this forward, and with the help of God, maybe this will abate, but certainly listening to the TV and radio as much as we all do, it doesn't sound like we're going to reach an apex now for several weeks, and all they're doing is just preparing. So that having been said, again, I just continue to pray for all of us. The first item that I see on our agenda was to be the academic committee. Cecilia, are you maybe on?
I'm on. Okay, I'm on. I didn't have a call, so I will just ask if Nick and Patience will refer to the email that we sent out. It was very detailed that was sent out to all of us about a week ago, 10 days ago. Just the preparation for the, you know, how you close and how, and what's being, you know, moving forward.
Hey, everybody. Okay. I'll jump in here and then Patience, please add on to what I'm going to say. So we moved to online, Bedside Beginnings, you know, remote, actually 2 weeks ago today on the 17th. The 16th was the last day that we had staff in the building, and the 13th was the last day we had students in the building. Consistent with our distance learning strategy, we've implemented a framework that allows our students to receive work based off of paper-based materials and then receive support from their teachers, from their counselors, from their special education teachers, English language learners teachers, and other staff members from home. That involves regular phone calls home, check-ins. There's a video component where they can log into a system and look at things that have been recorded by teachers, and there's a number of other components that we've been rolling out since then. But the update that you guys received previously is pretty comprehensive in dealing with that. Patience, do you want to just kind of give an update from the ground?
Hey, I'm here. So like Nick basically said, we definitely are in full swing of our remote learning program. The first week we spent time just onboarding our families and really staying in contact with them to get them fully onboarded into the process. Within the last week, we fully rolled out all of our digital platforms. So we're using a ton of Google products to interface with our families on a daily basis. Our teachers shifted to instruction this week. So previous weeks, we were doing strictly phone calls and touch points. Now the teachers are getting back in front of the camera and back in front of families to do actual instruction to support the work that the families have received. This week, we're happy to announce families have received their second packet. So we send home paper-based work, and the teachers do instruction based off of the paper-based work. Based on data we've collected from families, we're finding that most of our families, about 96% of them, have access to internet via cell phones. So we're being very strategic, making sure we're using app-based programs that they can access on their phones to prevent any Wi-Fi issues or anything like that. We've been extremely successful with our outreach to our families. The amount of emails and positive notes I get on a daily basis about how our school community is staying in contact on a regular basis has been overwhelming. We've actually got a lot of feedback from families asking if we can pull back some, because we're finding that most of our families are very overwhelmed right now. So we are working now to strategically pull back a little while still maintaining that bar of excellence that we have for our students.
And I just want to jump in. Based on that communication that Nick and Patience had sent out to everyone, Tish had jumped in because she had gotten some information from her job, and it really referred to the special ed kids and the protocols with them. I just got off a call with Bennett, Unica Bennett, and NYSCD and so forth. And the big thing was that whatever you do for the others, for the rest of the school, you have to do for the special ed kids. However, there's always an asterisk to them, and it's like information will be coming out, what you have to do and how you can do it and so forth and so on. So again, Nick and Patience, you, from what I heard just 10 minutes ago, you guys are going to be getting a lot of stuff from the charter world, and then also comparable to the, what the DOE is doing and SUNY is doing and so forth. So what I heard from you two guys, and I hope Tish agrees, the special needs, special ed students in our school are being serviced just as well as the rest of the school students.
Correct.
Thank you.
That is absolutely true, Cecilia. Our SPED students are receiving all of their services in terms of instructional supports. Any students that receive related services that are usually done by a third party, such as physical therapy, OT, or speech services, those are being offered to students via teletherapy, so basically online. I can attest, as a mother who has a child in the school with an IEP, she has been receiving her speech services via Google Hangouts. So all of our third-party related service providers are providing those services to students.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patience, especially the figure that you gave us, the 96% who have remote ability. I think that's tremendous, is it not?
It definitely is. Shout out to Vicky and Nick, who we've worked together to really collect the data. Because initially, DOE made this big push and said, we're going to give all of our kids digital devices. But we've now come to know that that has not been true, and DOE has not been able to do that. So what we considered was, are we at a place that we send home our laptops remotely? And as we continue to collect data, we found that it's not so much the laptops, the families need access to Wi-Fi. And most families don't have access to Wi-Fi. So working with my instructional team, we said whatever platforms we choose, we're going to make sure they're app-based, because everybody has a cell phone and internet can be provided via your cell phone. So that is why we're going with the app-based programs to make sure we get access to our families. That's especially important for middle school, because most of the middle school kids have their own cell phones. so they can work independently on whatever we're doing. Where the little kids need to depend on their parents, but that's actually a good thing because we want to keep the parents looped in.
Great. Good news. Okay. I see our next report. Any questions on it, by the way? And also, this is a public meeting, board members all, so there could be some outsiders on the phone. I did hear the phone click several times. Is there anyone on the call that is not a board member? We would like to enter you into the record. Okay.
Any new board members on the phone?
Hi, Joe. This is Doris. You might want to tell them to press *6 to unmute themselves.
Okay. If there are any other outside folks other than the board members, to please mute your phone. That's good advice. But I don't know about all of you. I think this is a great connection. Some of the calls that I've had this week were not quite as good.
Yeah, I thought I heard two or three pings while Patience was talking. So
yeah, we have 12 people on the line right now. So four of those are myself, Vicky, Patience, and Lisa Renee, and then we have 8 trustees on the line, it looks like.
Lisa Renee.
Two are actually me. This is Vicky. I'm actually taking up 2 lines because I have
7,
one on my phone and on my computer.
All right, sorry, 7 trustees. Okay. So we have the right count.
All right, so that counts up to 12. So,
good count. Okay, we're into the counting. Thank you, Cecilia, and we're moving. There's nothing for us to really move on there. We're ready for finance report.
Right. Before we move on, can I ask a question?
Sure, Neil. Sorry, go ahead.
Neil. Yeah, no worries. So I just had a question in regards to the educational package production. When we had our call last week, the finance committee had a call last week with, and Nick was on. I think there was some, you guys were starting to strategize around how you were going to be able to get those packets out to families on a recurring basis, given that we're limited from a resource standpoint. You know, we can't go to certain staples or print shops, et cetera. So how have you solved that issue if it's still outstanding?
Patience can answer that for you.
Yep. So that's a great question. So we had got ahead of this a few weeks ago. Vicky and Nick started thinking about ideas. Usually we use a company called Vanguard to do any mailing services for us. They're a big company that service the entire 5 boroughs of districts and charter schools. So when I shot that information over to my ops director, manager, she said, can we look into some local businesses that we've used, because we worried that those companies we normally use would be bogged down by the city. She reached out to a local printing shop that we've used in the past for small jobs, and they were super grateful for the opportunity to take on this new challenge. We worked with them last week. Nick worked with my team to convert all of our files to the necessary PDFs that were needed by company, and they spent this weekend getting together the envelopes, printing all of the materials. Our team had to send over a ton of spreadsheets to them so that they had all of the contact information. But I was happy to get the news that this morning every last one of our packets went out in envelopes with our school logo on it, with the students' already printed on it. And the printing company has been nothing but thankful to us. I've gotten several emails from them just saying thank you for the business, and they look forward to more business. So when Nick and I checked in today, I told him we're going to get another round of packets out probably next week so that our students have work to do during the spring break. And it'll also support a local business that I'm sure is not getting as much business right now.
Right. Right.
Well,
wow.
Coming to the gala, right? They'll contribute to the gala?
I don't know. Lisa Renee will.
No comment.
Not yet.
Figure it out. So this new company, Patience, this new company, are we considering them to kind of substitute for Vanguard going forward as well after all of this is done?
So Vanguard and the company does kind of 2 different jobs. We usually use Vanguard for our mass mailing to do recruitment and marketing. because that's
right, what I remember.
So we will now continue to use this company for our smaller just printing jobs, and we'll continue to work with Vanguard once things slow down on our marketing and recruitment, because we still have to make a push for recruitment for next school year.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the frequency ahead, of the packets, just the frequency of the packets, I don't think I remember, but how frequently are we sending those out? Is that once a month or every 2 weeks? Or?
So right now we're at every 2 weeks, because one of the stipulations with the smaller company, just because we haven't used them, we agreed to a 30-page maximum job with them. So every packet is only 30 pages. Most people would say, hey, 30 pages is a lot, but keep in mind the kids have to get reading, math, social studies, and science. So that kind of juggles down to about 7 pages per subject area. That usually lasts the kids about a week and a half. So right now we're doing about every 2 weeks. We're getting as much resources out to them as possible.
And do they have textbooks at home to read from, or how does that work?
So this day and age of instruction, there's not many programs and curriculum that actually use textbooks. Most curriculum is already computer-based. So most of the reading and things like that is already on some type of app or program we use on a daily basis. So they're accessing programs that they normally would use.
Yeah, one of the key pieces of our strategy, and we will think about this changing and evolving over time if this becomes an extended situation, is we need universal access. Whatever we give out has to be good for an entire grade span, all of our students. Can't just be half get one and half get the other. So we're thinking very thoughtfully on how we can do that. We know we can get these paper-based materials out to families. We know we can call every family. We know we can push out to the apps to every family. So we've been thinking very thoughtfully about how to make sure there's equity and fairness, and that supports our English language learners, that supports our special education students, that supports our vulnerable students. And, you know, that's why we're kind of taking this approach. But as time moves on, we'll think about other strategies as appropriate. You know, we are now getting the hang of this remote learning in the last couple of weeks.
Okay, I'd like to move on. It's almost 6:22, keeping up with our agenda on finance. Victor?
Sure. So the Finance Committee had a call late last week. It was open to the full board, as all meetings are, but I sent out a specific invitation because we were going to deal with some financial projections going forward. Very basic and very preliminary financial projections, but they were there. I have the minutes of the meeting were submitted, so they are part of the packet that everyone received. So I'm just going to go through it fairly quickly. We reviewed the monthly accounts, and we're in very good financial shape through the end of the year. We've done a lot of the SMT and the financial team has done a great job of getting things ready through the end of the year. The final per pupil allocation application is already out. Rent checks for the next couple of months are ready to go. When they're needed, we have an understanding that at least for the moment, the applications for the per pupils are going to be treated as they are normally treated, and so we should be receiving that money within the normal time frame. We are looking at being able to close out the year. At this point, again, very generally, we're looking to be able to close out the year this year without much of a financial impact, provided that things continue the way that they're going now. And by that, I mean that the per pupil comes in timely basis and everything else. The senior management team has done a great job of putting us in a position to get that done. We have a solid amount of money in the bank. Probably talking about 1.4. Is that right? 1.1, 1.2. Yeah, we're talking about in between 1.2, $1.3 million in the bank right now. That is either per pupil or not per pupil, in addition with the operating account funds, which are separate, and we're looking good there. During the call, we had an opportunity to talk with NEC about the financial outlook, and with the understanding that it was a very preliminary look at what was going on, both with respect to what's happening vis-a-vis the COVID-19 shutdown and also what's happening in Albany. And the bottom line, I think, with a lot of this is that we're still waiting to see what happens out of Albany. The budget is supposed to be presented shortly, statutorily. I think they're supposed to do it today, although they probably got that extended. I'm not actually sure, but today was the original date for the budget to be presented, and out of that budget, we were going to have a lot more information about what was going on. So what we have is a situation right now where as we look at the kind of long-term financial outlook for the school, what we're seeing is, what we're anticipating is that, you know, there's going to be more clarity when the budget comes out. We'll know whether or not, you know, the expansion project and the real estate acquisition project will be able to go forward. And we'll know what kind of cuts, if any, are going to be necessitated by the status of what's going on now. What we do know, and what NEC has assured us, is that, as I put in the final paragraph of the financial outlook section, we are more than financially viable through the end of the fiscal year. So that's not an issue. And the senior management team is already going through, you know, variable budget scenarios for next year. And to the extent that we have a budget scenario next year that requires us to trim, you know, the focus will be on trimming in areas that doesn't affect the in-class school performance, the in-class experience. And so via whether it's attrition or, you know, the potentially, you know, trimming of non-essential personnel, we will be, you know, we'll be prepared for a scenario where we have to trim ourselves a little bit again, for lack of a better term. Again, because all of this is right now budgeted and based on current assumptions coming out of Albany in terms of what the you know, per pupil is going to be for next year, and you know, we have a belief that those numbers are going to stay the same. We're continuing on that path. When the budget is finalized, that's when we're really going to be able to sit down and look at how the school is going to be affected. I think just quickly with respect to expansion and real estate acquisition strategies, again, with the uncertainty coming out of Albany, those are on pause right now, as much as New York is on pause. Those areas are also on pause for us as we see what happens in the next couple of days and weeks, and how that affects our bottom line.
Thank you, Victor. For those of us who were on the call, it was quite thorough. Went on for a good period of time to allow everybody to ask questions and whatever. So I thank Victor for holding a good finance meeting. I think we were on about I clocked 70 minutes. So that was a long call, but worth it. Any questions to Victor or Lisa Renee, anything that you want to jump in and add?
No, thank you, Joe. The only thing I would add is just to point out that the $1.2 or $3 million to which Victor referred was referenced to savings. That's separate from the operating account. I just wanted to make sure that that was clear, that that's just not all the money in the bank. That's savings divided between per pupil and non-per pupil, but there's also our operating account. So I make sure that was clear.
That's correct. There's a significant amount of money in the operating account. That is separate from the per pupil amounts that I previously discussed.
That's it. Great. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, not me.
Okay. No other questions? Go ahead.
Just one thing. It's Victor again, and I did want to, I know I put this into the minutes, but I did want to on the call, do a shout out again to Nick and Lisa Renee and Vicky and the team for all of the stuff that they've been doing, have done, continue to do with respect to dealing with this unprecedented situation and making sure that the school stays in a position where it can address all of its financial issues through the end of this year. And, you know, as we have heard on this call, not just with respect to the finance, but with respect to the academics as well, that kind of forward thinking, that kind of strategizing about stuff, not just for today and tomorrow, but, you know, over the next couple of weeks and months is important to our viability. And, you know, our senior management team is you know, meeting that challenge. And I want to thank them all for that.
Joe, I was on, again, I just want to refer to that call today with Yonika, and you guys know everybody, and you know Paul O'Neill, I'm a lawyer, but I'm really just working for the charter. One of the things is that they were saying there are some people, as far as you had to give in your plan for, the end of the year and so forth, and to spend your money by April 24th, there are some people who got emails. Okay, some charter schools got emails that they had to, respond to because it was not so good of the paperwork that they, or the monies and the budget and so forth that they sent in. So I, too, want to thank the team for at least getting us in there and knowing that we should be okay.
Awesome.
Well, if we could all give it an applause on the phone, that's for all the good work. We really appreciate it. That's why we can all be in our places where we are right now, knowing that the students are still being educated, which is tremendous. I don't want to cut anybody off. Is there anybody else that wants to jump in and offer comment? If not, Victor, we thank you and look forward to the next time we meet. The next item on the agenda is Doris with governance, and you're right on schedule, 6:30. You actually got two extra minutes.
Yes, I just unmuted myself. I have to get accustomed to all these different technologies that we're using now for these calls. I'm really not. We really don't have a report from governance. Okay. I mean, our plan was really to move forward with our recruitment strategy and to look through what candidates might be out there that might be viable candidates for a shortlist review. And I know Tamika was taking the lead on that. I don't know if she, Tamika, are you on the phone?
Yes, yep. I am. So I have been able to look on BoardServe and identify who I think would be some good candidates. I will say that BoardServe is really not that up to date in terms of people don't really log on often, so it's hard to gauge like their activity. But at our next governance call, I'm happy to get into more of the details about people that I've identified and then also just reaching out to my own network. So I'm hoping that by the next time that we have a larger board meeting, I can provide some more information to the whole group. But I am actively looking out for candidates.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. And I just want to just jump in to say that the agenda for future, our next governance board meeting really needs to focus on the board assessment and maybe getting that off the ground for the 2020 year. We haven't done an assessment since 2018. And we also need to update our goals. I know the Finance Committee has updated theirs, but, you know, it seems as though we indicated several goals out here for each committee, and some of them have been updated, some of them haven't, but we need to pay attention to that component, and then just keep doing the things that we're doing in terms of RSVPing for the meetings on time, posting the agendas on time, making sure that that we download the documents on a timely basis, because all that stuff is really tracked and goes toward our engagement metric that we look at. And so I would be happy in the next meeting for governance, as well as the next board meeting, to actually provide an update on where we stand with all of that.
Good. Any questions for Doris? Okay, moving along.
Joe, I'm looking at my computer and I see Tyler said he just joined.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for jumping in. I am on. Sorry for the delay, okay. Folks. Didn't want to interrupt the floor.
It's fine. It's 6:35, so you also have 2 minutes more, so you can go on for a little longer. So, Tyler, you want to give us an update?
Sure. So, no significant update, I guess, really. I mean, we all saw the next step, which was to reschedule. We have successfully rescheduled for September. We are locked in at this point. I don't believe there's another option to reschedule. For background, I know I've had a number of items that were rescheduled from June to October. So I'm hoping that around that time, we're all back to normal and up and running. So if you haven't received that information, please do let me know and I'll send it to you. But we've already reached out to everybody on our list with the new information. If your contacts were not sent over already or they did not register online, please do let them know directly. And then, you know, I'm thinking right now there isn't a whole lot for us to do because school's not in session and we don't have access to a lot of the resources. So we've put the Gallo check-in on hold for now. And I would like to pick it back up again in May or late April, as the case may be. So we'll sort of play it by ear. But the same agenda, everything's in place, nothing is changing. We'll progress those forward once things settle down a little bit more.
Tyler,
so this stage, on hold.
A question. A little while ago, I think we received a notice about there would be a meeting on April the 4th on a Sunday.
No, that's not right. We should taken off. We can get it removed.
And then the other question I have, I know that a number of organizations did what we did, rescheduled it to when they thought things were going to be looking good. So are we now hearing that if we were to go back to Giando's, that they have a deposit, obviously, that they would not honor that for a later date? Is that what you're saying?
I think there's risk. Vicki, I think you've been dealing with them a little more directly. My take is there is risk that it might not get honored. I think they have been extremely helpful and accommodating considering everything going on. But there is always that risk. Correct me if I'm wrong, Vicki.
Hi, everyone. I think John Doe is just in an unprecedented position. They told me that they typically reschedule 2 events per year. And when I went in mid-March, they had been rescheduling 40 in a week. So we've put a second deposit. Our first deposit also counts towards the full balance, so we're not losing any funds in regard to that event. I think if the situation is such that there are still restrictions on gathering, they would understand. One of the reasons why we put it towards late September is because we hope that by then public health will be back to a point where it is reasonable to have 100 to 200 people in the same room. Regardless, if such gatherings cannot occur, John Doe's business is not happening either. I think they will be understanding. And that's all I can say on that topic.
Yeah, it's not our base case, Joe. I just, you should just be aware. We expect that they'll be accommodating.
Okay. Okay, any other questions on development? If not, family life. I'm not sure, Kevin, I don't think he's on.
I'll just jump in there. We have been making family engagement a top priority for the school. Families are, as patients said, almost feeling overwhelmed by the amount of engagement we've had. When we don't have regular classes, we still want to make sure we're checking with students and having conversations and conversations about the work and did they have questions, did they understand, did they engage. And hopefully we hope that this will continue to build the bonds that it currently exists and strengthen them. And we're trying to learn from this process and using best practices from the sector and the nation and making sure that our families remain highly engaged during this time period.
Nick, at this point, do we know of any families right now that have come down with the virus?
As of now, we have no reports of individual students who've received it, though obviously testing is not universal. And just to add in, no staff members have tested positive as this moment. So we're hopeful that our diligence in avoiding going on beyond longer than we needed to helped avoid community transition within the school. It's been 2 weeks since our last staff meeting. Three Mondays ago. So hopefully that's a good sign. And we have not received them, though it is possible some family members have been ill. And we would expect it just statistically that was the case.
Hi, this is Tish. What sort of feedback are you getting from the families? What are they most interested in? Like, what are the top lines there? That's the first question. The second is, are you saying that the staff hasn't met in 3 weeks or have not met in person in 3 weeks?
The last time that the entire staff was in the building was on Monday the 16th. So that was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. And patients, do you want to answer the questions from parents?
Yeah, as we've discussed earlier, for the most part, the parent feedback has been very good about our touch points. We have a very strong communication protocol with our teachers communicating on a daily basis, as well as our student support team doing social-emotional check-ins with students that we have targeted to have extra needs outside of the school. General feedback has been great, other than parents. This week, we've really got bombarded with feedback that they're a little overwhelmed with the communication and just overwhelmed with the general remote learning process. So we're making adjustments to our communication protocols to support that feedback.
So the top lines are they feel that we're over-communicating, and the second part is the challenges in adjusting to remote learning. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes, they appreciate the communication, but at this point, going into week three, it definitely is becoming a lot for them. So we're scaling back our communication and being a little more.
And just to back up on the other question, Nick, you said, I know you said the staff met 2 weeks ago in the school building, but have there been any other meetings, sort of larger staff meetings, just to touch base with school staff as a whole since that two-week meeting?
Not in person, but virtually we've been meeting every day. We continue to have professional learning communities meeting, which is our team meetings for grade levels. We have our teaching and learning meetings. The office is meeting virtually. I'm in regular contact with the facilities team. you know, we're talking every single day. Basically, everyone knows they're on the hook between 7:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. every day for the work that gets done, and they get assignments and deliverables based off of that. And that definitely includes virtual meetings through Google Hangouts or other online systems.
Got it. And for the staff, I mean, this has been stressful, I know. Have you considered, or has the SMT taken a look at what sort of emotional support we can offer to the staff? I know that it sounds like you're doing that with students, but what has that been like with staff?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
This is Lisa Renee. Hi. So what we've been doing is I've been making sure that I do touch points with sort of the whole staff. The first part of the week, I sent information. It's really a resending of information regarding what benefits are available. We have our partner Little Bird offers free service called Talkspace. I don't know if you all are familiar with that, but it's essentially you can get a therapist on your phone. You can text with them. A number of staff were utilizing it before we went out, and so we remind them that, one, it is available, two, it's free through our partner, and, you know, three, that, you know, this is something that is good for them. The other thing that we're doing is, you know, like I sent out, I'm starting to do Motivational Mondays. You know, last week, at the end of the week, I sent out something just letting people know that we're thinking about them. I know that patients is in regular communication with her staff on the emotional support side, and then, you know, I support her because she's got a lot of people pulling on her, you know, and I make sure that I do a broad range reach, and I get feedback from it, you know, so that the teachers will reach back and say, hey, thank you so much for sending that, you know, we miss seeing you. So we are definitely making sure that we are extending the reach and letting people know that they're not alone, that they have someone to talk to. I literally said in my last, my Motivational Mondays, like, feel free to email me to virtually chat. And people have taken me up on it. So we're letting them know that we're here and that we are communicating. And as I said, I know that patients is also communicating regularly with the staff, and I as well with my staff. Does that answer your question?
That's perfect. That's awesome. Nice work. Sorry I jumped off late. Did the finance committee go?
Yeah,
we already had it.
We did.
Okay, just quickly on that. I don't know how this is going to impact us moving forward, but the level of unemployment is staggering. We know that our parent community are largely lower income, which means they're the frontline people who are probably going to feel this the most. And has there been any consideration by the committee about how that's going to impact the school community, whether it's, I think it's Title IX, I guess, and also just the children? Has there been any conversation about that?
The conversation in large part on the prospect of the committee was essentially dealing with the immediate issues of whether or not we had the financial wherewithal to get through the rest of this fiscal year. And it was a preliminary discussion at which we determined that there was significant financial wherewithal there to get us through the fiscal year in good shape. The strategies for next year are still in flux, primarily because we still don't know what the numbers are going to be from Albany with respect to funding of schools of charters for next year. We think we have that number. We haven't been told that number is going to change. But, you know, we will be budgeting against that number. And should that number come in, then we think we have a pretty good idea of where we're going to end up. But we should get more clarity with respect to what's going on soon, when the budget is actually presented. The availability of title funds and other types of potential sources of money that the school would be able to tap, I think at the moment are all in flux, trending well, I think, based on the current information that we have, but not final by any means.
Okay. So one of the reasons I'm asking is, I mean, definitely we need to look at floor planning. The budget's expected tomorrow, and there's chatter about major funding cuts to students. The person didn't define what that looked like. I know charters have been a major discussion, of course, Nick, based on the work that you've been doing, but we're looking at major cuts there, if what I'm hearing is true. So as go ahead, Vic.
No, I was just saying that as the possibility of an austerity budget, you know, what we're calling that is an austerity budget. I mean, the possibility of an austerity budget is being discussed, has been discussed. The senior management team, the financial team at the school, you know, Nick, they've all been involved in looking at, you know, the potential for what might need to be trimmed if stuff needs to be trimmed. Obviously, the leaders there would be to trim items from the budget that would have the least impact on in-class learning and in-class experience. If it gets to that point, you know, we can deal with potential staffing and other issues prior, you know, first through attrition, and then perhaps through other methods as necessary. But the idea at this point is that the financial team has been looking preliminarily at scenarios that range from everything remaining the same to ones where there are cuts because of, you know, Albany changing formulas because of potential tax revenue shortfalls. So those things are being looked at.
Okay, great. All right. I mean, Nick, I'm sure Vince is on it, but with the budget expected to be passed tomorrow, I'm really nervous about what it means for definitely for schools and, of course, for what it means for our school.
For sure. I'll have some good information tomorrow, and then probably by the end of the week, I'll send out a blast to the board giving you some initial analysis. We'll see. We've heard a freeze. We've heard a cut. Heard a slight increase. It could be any of the three. By law, it's supposed to be passed by midnight tonight, but you know, we'll be ready for whatever comes.
Awesome. I'm sorry, did I miss education too?
Yes. We've gotten through the whole agenda.
I'm sorry, I was working. And finally, just to loop back to special ed, is there any movement there? Are there any updates there with regard to the IEP or the kids who have IEPs?
Okay. All special education compliance is still happening. CSD has moved to virtual work, so we're still processing evaluations and reevaluations. All SPED students are still receiving their services from the classroom teachers, and all related services are providing teletherapy to students virtually.
Okay. I've given you a shout out from what was sent out to us by Nick and Patience about 7 days, 8 days ago, whatever. But one of the things from the call I was on today with Yanika Bennett, I don't know if any of you joined that, but anyway, special ed kids have to have the same as the rest of the school, which is what Bed-Stuy is doing, okay? As far as their extra, as far as OT and PT, okay, that's being handled as patients had told us on referrals to certain groups that the parents know about, okay? And again, the IEPs and so forth, they're giving you a little, giving us a little lay time that you don't have to adhere to that, like, minute by minute the way we have been doing, but patients and the team seem to be on top of that.
Okay, great. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We've gotten through our major items. We're now under new business. We're pretty much right on schedule, probably just about 5 minutes behind. But are there any new business items that we wish to bring to the table? Hearing none, Are there any public comments of anyone who may have gotten on the phone who did not self-identify? Okay, having completed business so far, we would now like to go into executive session.
Joe, a question. Do we need executive? I think we hit all the items we were going to discuss, but we obviously can go in if needed. I think we're probably good.
Oh, okay. So there's nothing further after this?
I don't have it, but if there's other items, you can definitely go in, but I have nothing on my end.
So the second phone call number that we had, we are not calling that?
I don't think we need it.
Unless anybody has anything that requires going into executive session, and Nick is saying, I hear that he doesn't.
Okay.
So.
Well, before then we get off, I don't think we need to talk about it today, but because I'm dealing with this at our own university, Cecilia and myself, our president announced yesterday that there would not be graduation ceremonies. And I don't want us to get into a long discussion tonight, but the next time we talk, and I know that we need to have another extra meeting or a meeting to fulfill the year's requirements, so I'm going to come up with maybe a suggested time in a minute, but I think we should put that on the agenda. How will we deal with informing students, families, and then kind of thinking way ahead when this, you know, settles down so that we can help the young people who are graduating. So I'm not asking for us to get into a heavy discussion because I know we will, but maybe for the next meeting, maybe patience, Nick, maybe you could discuss that and have that as an item on our agenda.
Yeah, I've actually spoken already with our team and we're fully ahead on our plans to address those issues. So whenever we talk about it, we'll be fully ready to give you an update.
I'm just thinking about the poor young boys and girls doing so well graduating, thinking about going to a high school, and now they're confronted with not maybe a big ceremony and all. It's just a lot. We're getting it at the college level is like really in bad shape throughout the country. All kinds of articles in the Chronicle of Higher Ed, how people feel that they've worked so hard and now they won't be there for graduation day. So it's rough.
Yeah, so we've already spoken to Megan Evers. And if we do not come back right now, our date is locked in because it's late June and we don't have guidance on where we'll be. But our goal is to somehow have a graduation for the students once things open back up, because we do recognize that it's not and we want to celebrate that with the students. So our goal is to postpone it as long as we can.
Great. Joe, that's the word they're using, postpone. I have an eighth grader myself, and
postpone.
That's what they're using. Okay, and they're using postpone. So if we can, we can. But and I'm sure patients in the group are doing that because there's a lot of things, the trip, you know, or different things that they wanted to go on. So postpone is the good word.
Now, the last item is that, Nick, you can corroborate this for us. We do need to have an additional meeting. Our next meeting, I believe, is scheduled for April the 21st, the Tuesday night. But,
okay.
Would we like to have another meeting maybe 2 weeks from now so that we can get in that extra meeting? What are your thoughts, Nick?
So my recommendation is that we turn the public meeting of the Finance Committee, which is currently scheduled for May 12th, to be a full board meeting. Same format as this one. It requires a 6-person quorum. It will be a very important meeting, obviously, with the budget questions that have been raised already. I just think that makes the most sense. We need to have 12 meetings. That is a 12th meeting. It's obviously a very important, topic. So I think it's definitely worth an hour of everyone's time to go into that Finance Committee call.
Good. Okay.
That's
all right.
Okay.
So everybody mark down in your books. I have a feeling that we are going to yet be sequestered, even at that time.
Right.
There's been some data just released now that the president and the medical advisors are saying that the next 2 weeks are very critical, but that now they're projecting figures to go from 100,000 to 240,000. So that's just coming across the screen while we're meeting. So I suspect that in May, this probably will be a similar kind of you know, situation where we may still be not where we'd like to be back at our jobs or out in the real world. Is there any other business?
Yes, what time is the meetings on the May 12th or what time? Because I'm not sure I had, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock for the finance committee, Victor.
It's a 6 o'clock meeting.
Okay.
And it's now going to be a phone call, like this meeting was.
Right. I understood that. I just had two times down, and I didn't know which was which.
Yeah.
I just sent the update to everybody, so now everyone has it in their email and their calendars.
Can you confirm that technically, if you're going to, which you can, adhere to the spring break?
Yep, that's the plan. We are on our own calendar. We have our own schedule set for from DOE. There has been some note that DOE wants to work over spring break, very right. likely because they decided to have no class for 5 days 2 weeks ago. We obviously had 4 days of you know, off-site work for students. So as far as we're concerned, we're going to keep our calendar. Our teachers have been working really hard. They're engaged. We probably can't stop some of them from working during that time, but we're going to try to keep our calendar unless we're given guidance from the state or the city that says we can go back to work.
So that's April?
Yep, that's April break.
April break, right. Well, because one of the things from today's call again, too, is the same thing. Charter schools especially started earlier.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have more days than DOE under every scenario, and that's something we've talked about multiple times. Right. To ensure that we don't have our funding jeopardized, to ensure that we are able to keep our students, you know, highly educated. Obviously, everyone's trying to figure this out to work remotely, but we think we've got a good plan and strategy. So we will keep our calendar unless we're given guidance otherwise from the state or city.
Right. Okay, thank you. That's what I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Joe, anything else?
No, I don't have anything. I was going to make a list. Yes.
We need a vote to adjourn the meeting. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'll entertain a motion by someone. Can we have someone say?
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I second. Okay. Tyler.
It sounded like Tamika and Tyler.
Tish and Tyler.
Okay. all those in favor?
Everybody
stay well, and thank you for a great phone call.
Thank you, everybody. Be safe.
Bye. Bye. Bye.